Hey guys, I'm Hudson Phillips, and this is Script Blast, a podcast to help you write better screenplays and write a better life. A quick reminder about our brand new Script Blast members writers group. After 5 years of producing free resources for writers, we've finally launched an online community designed to actually help writers get it done. We've got weekly video lessons, monthly group coaching calls, a curated community of like-minded writers, all to help you finish your screenplay and find encouragement and accountability along the way. Visit members.scriptblast.com to try it free. Today on the podcast, I talk with Luke Pilgrim and Brad Kennedy of Sozo Bear Films about their filmmaking journey and the amazing short films they've been producing from middle of nowhere, Georgia. We'll talk about how to write low-budget, high-quality genre films, the importance of finding a filmmaking partner, how to knock self-promotion out of the park, and whether film school is worth it. Here's my conversation with Luke and Brad. All right, Luke and Brad, thank you guys so much for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
So real quick, can you guys kind of introduce yourselves so we know who is who, since we have multiple voices going here?
Yeah, I'm Luke Pilgrim.
And I'm Brad Kennedy.
So this is cool for me because I've been trying to connect with you guys for a long time, and we were supposed to connect at one of your events most recently, and we kind of got the event kind of got canceled, which I'm sure is a big bummer for you guys. You had to push far, far into the future and cross your fingers. Tell everybody what that experience was that you were doing, because I think the thing you guys do, which is like this little mini film festival thing, is a really cool model that other people can copy. So tell us a little bit about what the Night at the Movies thing is that you guys do.
Yeah, so as filmmakers, we always try to produce a short film a year, and it always became a challenge. How do you premiere that? You know, we tried doing like a single, you know, premiere, but if the movie's like 10, 15 minutes long, it's hard to attract an audience to that. We tried, you know, releasing it online, and we had success with it, but we felt like there had to be a better way. So, you know, Luke and I eventually had this kind of idea where we're like, what if we do like a mini film festival? We had been on the film festival circuit for a few years with some of our previous shorts, and we just felt like it was the right next step. So we kind of took that plunge and, you know, kind of built from like a local standpoint where we had a lot of, you know, we're in Dahlonega, Georgia. So that's really close to the University of North Georgia, where we're alumni from that film program. So we had a lot of connections there, and we reached out to them and, you know, tried to bring in as many student films and then other just local artists that we knew in the film industry. And that was kind of the first year, and it ended up being a pretty big success. And we kind of just grew from there, honestly.
All right. So tell me about your goal of making a short film a year. Where did that come about, and why is that a priority for you guys?
Yeah. Whenever we got out of college, we knew we just didn't want to be complacent, you know, and rest on our laurels too much. And it's really easy to fall into that trap of, when you know when you're in film school and you're surrounded by, you know, your peers, you're surrounded by all this creative energy, you're being given sort of these outlines of what you should work on, it's a lot easier to stay in that creative flow than it is once you get out. We knew lots of people who that happened to. You know, they'd get out of school and then they would just not make any more art or not make any more movies or whatever it was. You know, they ended up going a different route. So we just wanted to make sure that we were still putting out stuff every year. And if we were going to be filmmakers, we knew we had to make films.
Because you guys also, your day jobs are producing kind of commercials and music videos and that kind of stuff, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, and that's cool because we get to add creativity into all of those projects. You know, even if it's like a documentary style video for a small business or a music video, you know, it always kind of becomes outlets for creativity. But we really wanted to make sure that we were still making films, you know, and not just kind of shutting off that side and that passion of what, you know, makes us and drives us as artists.
Yeah, and like the music video side, you know, like we just did this Indigo Girls music video that's hopefully going to come out soon. And I mean, and it was like wow. just a total like sci-fi, you know, dystopian future type vibe. Huh. And, you know, we did that. We did several with Amy Ray last year, you know, or the past couple of years. She's, you know, one half of the Indigo Girls. And we did her, we did like an outer space themed one. And, you know, so we really get to flex those creative muscles, especially they've been really cool with letting us run wild with those sort of sci-fi themes.
Yeah.
That's been incredible.
Because that's really core to you guys. I mean, I think my first introduction to you was Encounters, the first episode of it, which is incredibly well done sci-fi kind of story. And tell me about that whole series, Encounters, and how that idea first came up. And then we'll go back and kind of get to know you guys a little bit too, and how you met and all that kind of stuff. But because we're rolling on this, and because I'm so interested by it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or you go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you know, that first episode was a commercial originally. That was how we started. It was for our
company. Oh, wow.
Like, we made a Sozo Bear commercial. Like, that was another thing that we kind of tried to do each year, was come out with a new, fun, creative commercial for the company. And so we wanted to do, like, a sort of almost Close Encounters, you know, not parody, but definitely homage kind of thing, right? And so we made this sci-fi alien commercial, and it turned out really cool. It was so much fun to make too. I mean, it felt like we were making an alien, you know, film. It felt like we were making an alien movie, even though it was just a short commercial. And so when we showed it to people, like our composer and, you know, a lot of the crew, they were like, this should be a short film. So Brad and I sat down and we hashed out sort of a way we could salvage some of the footage and then write a new beginning and end for it. So literally like the abduction, the abduction scene, and basically him taking out the trash and being abducted. Is that all that was, Brad? I think that was all we used.
Yeah. Yeah. That whole part, because it's like the beginning and the end, like we had different actresses playing his mom from the commercial into, yeah, we kept the main actor, Grady Port, who was in one of our previous short films, Sunnyside Drive. So we kept him, but yeah, it was like such a challenge to have to almost work backwards. You know you have the scene and it's shot and it's in the book, but it's like, you know, how do you rework and almost make a solid story with just one scene in the middle of your plot, you know, the inciting incident.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Wow. That makes it even more amazing. So you turned that into Encounters, which became an ongoing kind of anthology series thing, right? Now, was that just kind of, was that intentional, or was it like, hey, we're doing these shorts a short a year anyways, let's kind of theme it together a little bit?
It was kind of like one of those things, once we figured out, okay, what is the story of the first episode? And really, once we figured out the theme, be careful what you wish for, it just got our brains rolling, and we started just coming up with kind of log lines and quick pitch ideas for future. Yeah, we didn't even think of them as episodes, I don't think, at the moment. It was more like, well, this could kind of fit that, you know? Uh-huh. And it was like, oh, and this could fit that too, and this. And then we were like, well, why not just make a whole series out of it? It was just a really organic process, I felt like, where it just kind of went from one step, you know, to another, and then suddenly we're like, yeah, I guess we're making a series.
All right, cool. So let's go back. First of all, did you guys both grow up in Georgia?
Yes.
Yeah, I grew up in Cleveland, Georgia. So, and then Brad grew up in Dade County, Georgia, almost to close to Chattanooga.
Yeah.
So a couple guys growing up basically middle of nowhere, but you love film, and I'm assuming loving the kind of stuff you make, which is this really cool, like sci-fi and fantasy type of stuff, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. For sure.
Okay. Were you guys making things in high school already?
I mean, kind of playing around. We both kind of had similar starts where we were doing like stop motion videos with camcorders and, you know, enlisting our friends and family to be in little shorts. And then I know for me personally, Luke has a different story and he can kind of delve into that. But a lot of my creative outlet with film in like middle school and high school was just anytime I could make a, take a project and be like, hey, can I turn this into a video instead of doing like a PowerPoint presentation or a poster? I would. So that was kind of how I turned a lot of my schoolwork into creative outlets with film.
Yeah, I had a, like you said, we were both probably pretty into doing like stop motion and things like that. My parents owned a video like rental store when I was a kid. Like,
oh, wow.
Yeah, they like rented VHS tapes, you know, for years. So I was exposed to it really young. My dad would always sit me down, you know, and show me the classic movies at a young age too. Real young, you know, I'm like watching 2001, A Space Odyssey. And I'm like, Dad, this is so boring, you know, because I couldn't, I couldn't like wrap my head around, you know, why Stanley Kubrick is a genius, you know. But it was cool because my dad, I think he really had a good taste in that stuff. And because he had to check out movies for what he wanted to rent, you know, he would always get these screeners early and stuff like that. So I was exposed to a lot of movies. My parents were, they own their own business, so they're always gone. So I would be at home by myself just with nothing to do, and especially in the summer. So I would, and I didn't, I wasn't like an outdoorsy kid, you know, or like athletic kid. So I was always taking the camcorder, making stop motion movies, stuff like that. And then, you know, like eventually I got into music, and that was really where my life went for many years. I was touring in a band, you know, as a musician, like all over the country. And that is where I started making music videos, just because we couldn't afford to really hire, you know, hire people. And now I know why those people were charging so much, you know, because I make music videos for a living. But at the time I was just like, dude, we could just make these ourselves, you know? And I think that's, I probably a lot of people think that, but luckily I think I actually had an eye for it, started doing that. And then when I was 25, I decided to go back to college for film. And that was where I met Brad.
Gotcha. So you guys both were at University of North Georgia. Is that right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We've bumped into the film program there a couple of times over the years, and I've just heard incredible things about it. Is film school something that you would recommend to most people?
That's like, I feel like the age old question, right? And yeah. I don't know, for me, I think, you know, obviously I met Luke and a lot of people who we're still like really close friends with. I think the education side of it's always good, and you could always probably go the Tarantino route or whatever and learn it all on your own. But I think the networking is really essential, because, you know, you can meet and find people who are like-minded, who can kind of build this crew and family that you then work with for the rest of your film career.
There's so many people there, you know, that are like in the same place that you're at, so like they are also cool with like working for free, and all of you guys like working together to try to make some kind of piece of art together, you know, which is, you're at a unique place in life where you may not be in a few years or whatever, where people are already like establishing their careers and things like that. So film school is a great place where you can learn a lot and learn how to collaborate.
Yeah, well, let's talk about that a little bit, because you guys are filmmaking partners. You guys met in college. You've been doing stuff, I'm assuming, since that moment together. And I really believe, at least in my own filmmaking, that having that partner, having someone to be a constant source of encouragement, to be a constant source of collaboration, is why I'm at where I am today. Like, if I was on my own, I don't think I would be able to overcome the number of obstacles that you face every day as a filmmaker, and especially as a writer. And so talk a little bit about that. Like, how has that relationship been important to you guys, and what kind of difference it's made?
Yeah, I feel like just having someone to constantly bounce ideas off of, and then kind of be that litmus test of, okay, is this a good idea? Is it bad? And then, you know, we talk about it all the time. I think we were just talking about it maybe the other day too, where it's like that, like I could throw out an idea and Luke's like, that's not the great idea, but it leads him to the idea, you know? And that's what I think my favorite part of having like a collaborator is, just it's always, you know, being able to bounce ideas back and forth and then build them up. And like when that's happening in the moment, you know you're onto something really good.
Right, yeah. You're able to recognize momentum a little better when you're able to throw it off with another person.
Oh yeah, for sure.
I'd love to kind of know your creative process, because there are two of you. How do you kind of divide up jobs? You both direct, you both write, you both produce, right? So what does that look like on a set? And what does it look like from the initial germ of an idea getting to that point as well.
Yeah, I think like over the years we've sort of fallen into the roles that we, you know, we found that we were better at and things like that. But, you know, when we start out with an idea, we usually, I mean, I feel like we're usually telling each other the idea as soon as possible because if we're excited about an idea. And so really from the very, that very like seed of an idea, we'll start hashing out, you know, different ideas the other person might have or start writing. You know, we write together a lot. Sometimes we'll write separately, like part of the episode, like for Encounters, for instance, and then come together and we'll finish it, you know, together. Really, I felt like we were the most productive once we both sat down in the same room and just started going through it, as opposed to like one of us writing several pages and then the other one giving notes, which we'll do that as well. But I feel like once we sit down and we really start hashing it out is when we start to make the most progress. And then like on set, you know, I just was always more of a camera operator and more of a like DP type person. So I was like running camera and stuff from the beginning. So I end up doing a lot of those type things on set, you know, and Brad has been he does a lot more of the like working with the actors or, you know, helping coordinate everything.
Yeah. AD side of stuff too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Gotcha. Making sure we're running on time.
Yeah. The
budget, stuff like that.
So you guys really kind of balance each other out in that way.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, for sure.
You're in Dahlonega, you're making movies, straight out of college. How long have you been? When did you guys graduate?
2015. December of 2015.
So was that always the goal to get done with school and just stay in Georgia and make things? Was LA ever in your sights to move out and move up?
Yeah, I think we didn't know what we were going to do when we first graduated. So we just like starting the business was because we neither one of us found any jobs really. You know, it was like we right when we were graduating, the university asked us to make a commercial, essentially what ended up becoming kind of like the prototype for what we call DocuPromos. And that was for the art department, which we were a fine arts degree at that time. They've transitioned to a communications degree now, but when they asked us to do that job, that was kind of like the first professional job. I mean, we did several things in college where we were being hired and me and Brad were working together a little, but we weren't like official yet, you know? So yeah, when they asked us to do that, that was like, well, we've got this one job. We'll work on that. And I think, you know, Brad, I think you were still doing interviews and stuff at the time, right?
Well, I wasn't getting much interviews, but yeah, I was putting out resumes and applications. But yeah, and I was like traveling. I had moved back home with my parents. And like Luke said, you know, I grew up in Dade County and that's like 3 hours away from Dahlonega. So I would be like coming back, you know, to town to film and then either crash, you know, for a couple of days at Luke's apartment or my brother, who was still in college at the time there to, you know, stay with him. So I kind of go back and forth between them and then coming back, you know, and traveling back to my parents. So it was an interesting time for sure. But it took, you know, I think at least a couple more jobs. And then once we kind of got a bigger job, and it was also through the university to do an orientation video for the upcoming year. And that was kind of when we're like, okay, this is probably a viable, you know, option. Let's just go all in. You know, Luke was able to, you know, leave what you were working at the bookstore at the university, right?
Yeah, I worked at the campus bookstore. And then once we got that one pretty big job, we thought we could live off for a while. I just quit my job and we started doing it full time.
I'm always curious with people that do it full time on a kind of a corporate side. And it sounds like you guys have so much freedom, even on the corporate side, that you really get to have fun and be creative. Did it ever feel like, oh, this is getting in the way of the actual dream?
I think it pops up maybe every once in a while where it's like, you got to kind of take a step back and be like, okay, let's do something creative. And, you know, that's where we were like, okay, we need to make a short film a year. Yeah, that was kind of one of the founding principles for Sosa Bear Films was, hey, let's make a short of a year. And then it kind of turned into, well, we could also do, you know, a Halloween kind of video or a commercial for the company or, you know, something like that, you know, that's also smaller but we're still being creative. But I think we do have a good consistent way of either adding creativity to the corporate projects that we're working on, or just have enough freedom to then be like, oh, let's do something else. You know, let's start our own podcast and be creative in that space. Or, you know, let's start a film festival, you know, and be creative in that space as well. You know, we've been able to not just kind of become drained by, you know, working on corporate gigs. And, you know, thankfully, pretty much all of our clients have been really awesome. It's really cool getting to know, like, especially for a lot of these smaller businesses, their story and being able to almost pivot and still be storytellers. You know, we're not writing scripts for them, but we're being able to edit and put together videos that, you know, kind of has a beginning, middle, and end like you would writing a script.
Yeah. So what is the end goal for you guys? Where, what are your big goals and where you want to be? Is it making feature films? Is it staying in Dahlonega and doing kind of your own indie film thing? What's the big end point for you guys?
I think we definitely want to make feature films, you know, if that's, you know, making indie features or whatever it is, you know. And obviously Sozo Bear is a big part of our, you know, what we do and what our direction is and everything. So it's like, we want to keep growing the company, you know. Like, we brought on our first employee, Ellis, you know, this past year, and he's been an incredible help to have that third person to, you know, bounce ideas with, for one, but also take on that workload of those corporate jobs. And he's a VFX artist. So we've like really expanded what we can do visually, because we, you know, he can help us with all this VFX work. And yeah, we like brought him on like right out of college. You know, he was interning with us while he was a UNG graduate as well. And so I think that's part of it, is growing Sozo Bear and, you know, seeing where that can go, growing our film festival too, you know, maybe, and hopefully having that become something that's more of a well-known fest, something that people really want to, other filmmakers, you know, want to be involved with or can connect with people at, and making features, you know, and shorts.
Yeah. One thing that you guys seem to be amazing at is all the stuff you're talking about, this kind of marketing stuff, the podcast stuff, the festival stuff, that in general, a lot of filmmakers are really bad at, right? So we're creative and we're artists and we don't know how to handle kind of the corporate side of things. Can you talk a little bit about your view on that art versus commerce thing and maybe give some tips for artists who are really bad at that?
Yeah, I feel like part of it is just this day and age, you kind of have to wear a lot of hats, you know, because there's all these outlets for you, but you've got to know how to use them. And, you know, I've talked about this a lot, Brad, and I've talked about this kind of stuff a lot. We, you know, and like I said, I came from that music background where I had to self-promote like crazy, you know, just to try to get people to come to a show, you know, in some random town that I've never been to and I don't know anyone. So I was sort of introduced to that early on, you know, like using social media to find a fan base, you know, or to build friendships across, you know, the US. So yeah, I feel like if you want to be like a successful filmmaker or whatever it is, some sort of creative in this day and age, you've got to wear multiple hats, be able to figure out. Part of it, I think, is people don't really know what their message is or like what their brand should look like. So that's probably the first battle, or the first, you know, step. Figure out what you're about, how do you want to be perceived to the public? And that perception is really everything, you know, because it's like how you portray yourself is how they're going to accept you. That's how they're going to think of you, you know? So figuring out what you want to be portrayed as, I think, is that first step.
So what would you guys say? I mean, I have a good idea. What would you say is your voice? Like, what is your brand that you try to define yourselves as?
I mean, our slogan that we came up with, which we try to have be our mantra, is creative cinematic storytelling. So, you know, we know that obviously visuals are important in being creative, but ultimately, you know, you got to tell a story. And that's what we try to apply to everything from our short films to our, you know, corporate work, music videos, the documentary promotional films, and everything in between. You know, there's got to be a through line with that where it's like, ultimately, you're telling a story to someone.
Yeah. And I guess the the sci-fi kind of nature of things that we typically do is something we like to be associated with as well. And that, I think that's just the stuff we love to make, you know, and we have fun making.
I love the idea of this musician kind of mindset that more filmmakers need to look at themselves that way. I mean, musicians forever have long been trying to do the self-promotion thing, and they kind of understand the hustle. I think for a long time for filmmakers, we've had this idea of, oh, we make something, someone will notice it, and then we'll be rescued, right? And kind of like brought up the ranks and flown out to LA and given all these deals. And what all these indie filmmakers are finding, because there's so many of us now because film has gotten so cheap and easy to make, is that that just doesn't happen anymore. And it really requires having this loud voice and brand and getting it out into the world and really treating your career as something that you're in control of, that it's not about winning a lottery, that it is about taking the steps that are necessary to get to success on your own. And that's one thing I love about that what you guys are doing is you don't seem to have that mindset of, hey, we made this thing, come rescue us. You are going step by step and making things on your own and making it happen on your own.
Yeah, I feel like it's that a lot of people do have that mentality, and I've never heard someone put it so easily into words. But yeah, everyone, you know, I remember growing up just thinking, you know, I wanted to make movies since like the second grade, and my parents would always be like, well, how are you going to get there? I'm like, I don't know, I'm just going to make movies. And, you know, in my mind, I was always thinking, yeah, you know, someone in Hollywood's going to write me a, you know, big fat check for millions of dollars and be like, yeah, go make your passion project. And, you know, as I got older, I quickly learned that that wasn't going to happen. You kind of had to, you know, take those steps and start doing it on your own. And yeah, no one was going to just suddenly go, hey, we really like what you're doing, so we're going, you know, rescue you and bring you up to the Hollywood ranks. You know, it's pretty much in your control, and that's, you know, which is a really good thing. You know, it's not one of those, you know, you're not, once you realize that's not the option, that someone's going to just, you know, give you a, you know, millions of dollars checks to make whatever you want, you know, and it's really on you. That's kind of motivation, I feel like, to just be like, okay, let's get boots on the ground, let's start making some movies and really make a filmography and, you know, put your stamp on the world.
And like, and musicians, you know, realize that, because there's no gatekeepers anymore, you know, like in the music world, because you can reach people anywhere now. So it's like, that's how it used to be back in the day. You know, it's like you wanted to be a famous musician or in a band or whatever. It's like someone had to discover you and someone had to like get you on the radio, all that stuff. But that just doesn't exist anymore. And there's all these outlets where you can reach a real fan base. And I think for us, it's like applying that to filmmaking was just a natural direction. And it's like, I don't know that we're, you know, are even concerned about, you know, making a Hollywood movie or anything like that. You know, I think it's just, we're just continuously taking the next step. And if we can make a better movie each time, you know, that's just really our goal, you know, just to keep being able to make the type of movies that we want to make and get better as filmmakers. And then, you know, hopefully that'll naturally take a progression to where we just keep, you know, building more of a fan base and hopefully meeting more people like you, Hudson, you know, more filmmakers and people who are like-minded out there.
Yeah, it's interesting. A lot of it comes down to mindset of a filmmaker first starting out saying, hey, Hollywood's where I want to be. And you see it as this separate thing, this line to be crossed, this end goal, right? When in reality, you guys are going out, you know, in real time, and you're already doing the thing that you want to be doing one day, right? So if our mindset is, hey, I want to make movies. I mean, like if you were a kid and you could see yourself right now and you're like, oh my God, I'm making movies, I'm doing that for a living, this is this incredible thing. But most people might look at that and be like, oh, well, you know, they're making short films, they're making corporate things, whatever. But that's making movies, right? And it's all about that mindset of like, why are you doing this? Is making movies and writing and those things, do those bring you joy? Then you can go do those right now. You don't need to be on the other side of that line in order to do those things.
Yeah, totally.
Oh, for sure. I feel like a lot of people kind of have that end goal success, but you know, you just need to look at like every step and be like, I'm successful because I'm enjoying what I'm doing. You know, yeah. It doesn't matter if I'm, you know, making millions of dollars or not. And it doesn't matter if I'm, you know, have the biggest stars in my movie or anything like that. It's like, you know, this is the dream. I'm making movies.
Yeah. Yeah. So I want to talk a little bit about, we're kind of talking about this mindset thing. I think for a lot of people where it gets frustrated is expectations, right? So I'm going to do A and I'm going to get B and it's going to lead to C and then to D. And that doesn't happen. A lot of people get frustrated and give up. I'd love to talk a little bit about what are some of those hurdles that you guys have faced? What are the things, the biggest struggles that you've bumped up against and had to be creative to work around or to push through and keep going at this thing?
Yeah. I mean, I guess it's, you know, budget. It's like the thing everybody probably struggles with is figuring out how to be creative on a budget, because that's where I guess the reality sets in when you're like, oh, I don't really need Hollywood to make movies, but it's like, I do need some kind of a budget, right? To be able to make a decent movie for the most part.
You know?
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Like pretty much anybody can, I mean, like I always tell people, if like they have a phone or a camera or anything, they can make some kind of short film and get their feet wet. But you know, if you're really wanting to get out there and get into like film festivals and all that, you need a little bit of a budget, but you can totally stretch that budget like crazy. And we've just become experts at how to stretch a dollar and how to, and a lot of that comes down to just being willing to put in a crap load of work, you know, and being willing to make all the props yourself, you know, if you have to, things like that, because we just don't have the budget usually to hire like an art director or, you know, a lot of these positions that you wish you had. And so, yeah, I think that's probably been an obstacle, is just figuring out how to make a movie on a budget. And that also comes down to just like Brad was talking about earlier, those relationships, people we met in film school, whatever it is, having those people we can count on to call to work on movies, you know. And like, we don't ask people to work for free, you know, but it's like, there's definitely been plenty of times where there's people who are helping us out at definitely a discounted rate from what they would normally charge, just because we have this relationship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would piggyback on that too, where it's like, you know, even to the aspect of screenwriting, you know, working within the budget. So if you're like, hey, we only have couple thousand dollars, but you know, obviously we can't afford this location that was written, you know, either, you know, for Luke and myself, we try to write, you know, we'll write whatever we want, but then also in the back of our minds think, okay, how can we realistically pull this off? And you know, so you're not writing secret government agency, unless you're like, oh, you know, we know this one room and we could kind of dress up that way. But, you know, you're not having people run through hallways of the White House or something. So, you know, I know on our second short film, Sunnyside Drive, it was originally, and we worked with another writer, Adam Neal, on that one. And the way the script was written, you know, it was in the suburbs, but obviously we needed two houses for the movie, and at that stage of our career, we just didn't think it would be possible to convince, you know, two different households to let us use their homes for pretty much no budget. So yeah. Luke had the awesome idea that he has family who has lake houses up in Hiawassee, Georgia, and we could use both of them. So we then, you know, had to kind of rework the script, you know, around the location, but you know, it ended up working pretty well. So I think it's always that willingness to, you know, once you have the script done, like you want to kind of stick to it, but also, you know, you need to be realistic to what you can actually work with.
Right. One of my favorite things about writing when you're making stuff is those limitations. 'Cause I feel like the idea that we land on after being filtered through all the limitations that we're faced, whether it's budget, location, cast, whatever, the idea usually ends up being better than the grand kind of blue sky idea. Right. 'Cause I feel like restraints really push our creativity.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Absolutely. I agree with that.
So, all right. So you guys, as far as I know, have only done kind of the short film thing. Is there a feature on the horizon?
We've tossed around some ideas, but you know, right now in calendars is kind of our top priority. So, and then in a way that almost feels like you're writing a feature, you know, obviously it's several different short films, but you know, it's a lot of pages when you add all the episodes up together. So it feels like a feature in that kind of aspect.
And is the goal to present those all together when you're kind of done with them? That is, that it would be kind of like an anthology feature?
Yeah, I mean, they don't really like flow together like a feature would, but they would be sort of like our original idea. And I guess going into it was it is hard for us to put together a feature at the moment, but we can make short films really well. And we could make a lot of short films, you know, and that would basically kind of measure out to what a feature would be like, you know, in terms of length. So they're all different casts, they're all different stories. But like Brad was saying, they have kind of that same theme of be careful what you wish for. So I think they'll be able to be watched, you know, together. Yeah, like kind of like a you sit down and watch it like you would a feature length movie. But it'll be kind of like the Ballad of Buster Scruggs or whatever, you know, you'd be going through a bunch of different little vignettes.
Yeah. Well, let me ask one more thing. So in terms of writing specifically, it sounds like you guys are kind of filmmakers first and you write because you need to film something. Is that a proper way to say that? Or is writing really core to you and you make movies in order to get your writing out there?
I would say it's kind of balanced out, but I think we are sort of more so on the filmmaker side, but we do really love the writing process. It's not like, you know, a necessary evil to us. It's something we really do enjoy.
Yeah. I mean, and for me, like storytelling has been kind of a real essential for me. Like even when I was like songwriting and things like that, that storytelling aspect has always been really, I guess, integral to our creative process. So yeah, but I think you're right, Brad. I think it's pretty balanced out. We might be a little bit more filmmakers because I don't think we sit down and write like all the time, you know. But we definitely, when we need to write, we sit down and hash it out, and I think we enjoy that process just as much as the being on set.
Well, and you can tell that you're filmmakers, like you mentioned that. Who are storytellers first, right? Like, so you're not interested in just making things that are pretty. You're interested in actually telling a story and really trying to connect with people.
Yeah,
for sure. Like, I think, you know, there's a quote by Ed Catmull, who was president of Pixar for many years, and he talks about, like, you can have any type of technology, the most expensive stuff, but it's like if your story isn't good, then you know that movie's going to suffer. You know, and story is like the foundation for all those things.
Yeah. So what kind of stories, we talked a little bit about like your taste and liking sci-fi things and stuff, but what is it about the stories that you create? What is it about those stories that connect to you? Is there always something personal in there? Is it always something you want to say? Is it an emotional beat? What is it that connects you to the stories you're telling personally?
I mean, I feel like a lot of times it's finding things that we think people will relate to, you know, like I want to tell a story that's hopefully going to stand the test of time. I think that's all of our goals usually. You know, and it doesn't feel like we're riding a current trend or wave or something, but that could, like, to me, like sci-fi, we love sci-fi so much, but I don't love sci-fi just for the sake of sci-fi, you know? So it's like the best sci-fi to me is like, I mean, what was the name of that Wolverine movie?
Logan.
Logan. Yeah. You know, it's like, that's a great example because there's like hardly any mutant stuff in it so much. You know what I mean? It's like, it's always like, can you take the zombies out and it's still a good movie? Or can you take the, whatever it is, the aliens out and is it still a good movie? Like that's where you can kind of separate. Is the story solid or are you leaning really hard on the explosions and the aliens or whatever it is?
Yeah, that there's got to be something that connects there. I find it real interesting because all three of us kind of grew up in middle of nowhere towns. I grew up in a small town in South Georgia. And I wonder if there's something to growing up in a culture like that, that you long for these kind of escapism stories. Like it feels like the growing up in small towns, your creativity is kind of pushed in a way that, and you can kind of disappear into these giant worlds that is not reality, that I wonder if you don't get growing up somewhere else.
Yeah, yeah. I always kind of had that thought too, where it's like, because I know that was something that was kind of like me and Luke, we've acknowledged it a few times, but like, I think it's kind of integral to our friendship, because we, you know, Luke's like 7 years older than me. You know, I went into college right out of high school. He came back after his music career, but we both kind of had that small town atmosphere and upbringing. And I think, you know, even though he's a little bit older, we kind of have that shared experience where, you know, we knew similar worlds. And to me, that's one of the reasons I love like the Coen Brothers stuff too, you know, even though that's not sci-fi, is I think they do a really good job of kind of showcasing those fringe and like small town communities and how like actual American people, you know, like act and look and feel,
right?
You know, yeah. But yeah, I think, you know, definitely growing up kind of longing for something bigger than your current circumstances, you know, that definitely was a big thing of my childhood.
Very cool. I wrap up every issue with the same five questions. So we'll do kind of quick answers. First, what do you write?
What do you mean? Scripts, screenplays, like.
Yeah. However you want to answer, you know, yeah. How do you interpret what you write?
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, we write stories that will hopefully connect with people, you know, like we were saying, maybe it's sci-fi, but we hope that there's like some sort of human element, something that's going to connect to, you know, to other people, no matter what, you know, race or gender or culture they're
in. I think it's typically sci-fi stories with universal themes.
What's your proudest accomplishment?
I would say creating a fart comedy and it not ruining our commercial career.
Yeah, I'd agree.
Okay. Okay, hold on. We need to pause there for a second because I haven't seen this short and you'll have to remind me the name of it, but I have seen all the laurels that it's gotten and played multiple film festivals and seemed to be a big success for you guys. So pitch us this fart comedy.
Yeah, it's called The Amazing Anti-Fart Formula. And our whole thing was that it was a fart comedy with a lot of heart. So, and it's basically, I mean, it's kind of like a love story. It's really about being true to yourself, though, you know, at its core.
Yeah.
How do you define success?
I would say doing what you love.
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing.
You guys are on the same page. What writers do you most look up to and why?
Oh,
I think Stephen King would be one, just his like process and his dedication to always putting words on the page, you know, even though I feel like I fall short of that way too often. He's a big inspiration.
I think Christopher Nolan and the Coen brothers, big inspirations for us.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would love to see the crossover of Nolan and Coen brothers, too. What a great film that would be.
Yeah,
that would be crazy.
What advice would you give to your younger self?
I would say probably just, like, keep going. Don't give up on the dream. You know, it's going to be realized sooner than you realize it will.
Yeah, I was thinking kind of something similar. I would definitely encourage my younger self to stick with whatever I'm doing, you know. I mean, even when I was like playing music and stuff, you know, I feel like I chose like the hardest paths in life, which was like a musician and then a filmmaker. So I think I would tell myself, you know, don't worry, just stick to it. You're going to find a creative outlet where you can, you know, actually, you know, pay your bills one day.
is the next step, stand-up comedian, you know, for the trifecta of very tough careers.
Yes, dude.
Yeah, my first life was a musician as well, but I never even looked at myself as a musician. I was just, for me, it was all about songwriting, right? Like that was kind of what I fell in love with, and then transitioned that to movies.
I feel like so many people in film have that genesis.
Yeah, I wonder what that is. What is it about? I think for a lot of people, the challenge is exciting, right? Like we just want to do something out of the box and don't want to be typical kind of, you know, corporate drone kind of person.
Yeah.
And so we need some kind of goal and we need some kind of obstacle to overcome. I think when we first start out, we're not expecting there to be quite as many obstacles as there actually is. But I loved your answer of just not giving up, because I think that's so key and so important. And it makes me so sad to see a writer who writes one screenplay, sends it into a contest, it gets ripped apart, and then they never write again, right?
Yeah.
Because there is so much joy to come from the process of writing, from the process of filmmaking. There's so much reward from it, but it's a tough gig and it does require you to keep going. And I think the fact that you guys found each other, I think the fact that you can find a collaborator and a creative partner, I think makes all the difference of getting through that journey.
Oh yeah, for sure. I agree with that 100%.
Cool. So where can people find out more info about you, kind of learn about what you're doing, maybe watch that first episode of Encounters?
SozoBearFilms.com.
Cool. Yeah, I was going to say.
And we're on. Or go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say that they can check us out on YouTube as well. Like we have our podcast, Friends from Film School, which you're going to be a guest on soon. And, you know, people can check that out. It's on YouTube, but it's also on like Spotify or whatever other places that, you know, podcasts are.
Yeah. And we're on social media, you know, at SozoBear Films on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter as well.
Yeah, so I highly encourage anybody listening who is like, hey, I live in the middle of nowhere. I don't know how to get my voice out there. Luke and Brad have done an incredible job of branding themselves and broadcasting themselves from the middle of nowhere. So I'm really, really impressed with everything you guys are doing.
Thank you.
Cool. Thanks so much, you guys. We'll talk to you soon.
Awesome. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks so much to Luke and Brad. Please check out all of their incredible work at SozoBearFilms.com. And you can find their interview with me on their podcast at SozoBearFilms on YouTube. If you're looking for more inspiration, collaboration, and accountability, I highly recommend you check out ScriptBlast Members, an online productivity and accountability community to help you finish your screenplay and upgrade your network. Try it free at members.scriptblast.com. And if you have any questions about the screenwriting journey, you can always reach me at hudson@scriptblast.com. I would love to hear from you and hear about your writing journey. See you next time. Thanks. Bye.